This morning we're continuing in our theme of resurrection power, a theme that we've explored over the past weeks of Easter season, acknowledging the freedom, the joy, the privilege it is for us to live as people of faith. This morning I want to expose an element out of the scripture passage that Pastor Kathleen offered to us this morning, an element that oftentimes is confused. Because the sacrificial love that's proclaimed by Jesus in John's gospel, a love that we are then called to love one another, is not necessarily something that you and I could fashion or form. It's not something that we ourselves could do for another, even though it suggests one could lay down his life for his friends. No, this love, this sacrificial love, is a work of grace that extends only through Christ and allows you and I to be recipients of that resurrection hope. For us, perhaps our understanding of sacrificial might be better compared to inconvenience than sacrificial. Perhaps our understanding of what it means to lay down one's life is merely to set aside our personal preference for a moment instead of understanding the depth of God's love that comes to us on the cross. Now, there was a moment that I was a new district superintendent of the Portsmouth District, and I'd scheduled church conferences throughout the new district, and I was meeting the congregations for the first time. A childhood friend of mine was pastor at Winchester United Methodist Church, and I was thrilled that Sunday morning to come and worship with John and his congregation. They'd scheduled a special potluck dinner afterwards in my recognition. I was thrilled for the moment. And John came to the pulpit just before my opportunity to preach, and he wanted to introduce the new superintendent. I was pretty comfortable with that because I thought John would only say nice things about me. John said, "I've known David since we were in elementary school together. The one memory about David that sticks with me the most was when we were playing together in his backyard. I remember those days. They were wonderful. They were fun-filled." John said, "Don't trust this man. Don't trust him." He goes on to say, "Yes, he led me over in his backyard to this hole that was in the ground. And there were these little things, just one at a time, just flitting in and out around the hole. And he said, 'Take this stick, John, and stick it in that hole and see what happens.'" Now, most of you already know what yellow jackets do. We were young back then. It was a curiosity thing. I meant no harm by my friend, but I thought it was good work. He stuck it in, and we heard it just almost rumble like a freight train with the thought. And as they were starting to emerge, I threw a rock over the hole, and I ran faster than John. And he accounts that he was only stung a few times, but that I had saved his life because I had thrown the stone over the hole. Wonder whether or not that kind of sounds like how you and I have offered Christian faith to our friends and neighbors. Have we led them to this place of resurrection power only to see whether or not we could stir up evil and trouble or outrun them in the race of life? Is there, in fact, some notice that you and I might save others when, in fact, we might only be interested in saving ourselves? There is Shannon Hopkins who writes this about the church. If we have no power, then the emerging cultures around us will not be drawn to us. They are not afraid that they're going to come to church and be changed. They are more afraid that they will go to church and not be changed. Are you and I really transformed by the resurrection power of Jesus? Do we really fully know that he calls us friends, not servants? That he, in fact, lays down his life for his friends? And that's no quick illusion at that tomb, that hole in the ground, that place that many would cover back with a stone and say, he couldn't really be raised from the dead. He really couldn't die for the sins of the whole world. After all, I've really done nothing worthy to anyone needing to die for me. Is that the faith we've lived? Is that the hoax we've played on our culture? Or are we really people of transformation? Do we really find that in this resurrection power, Christ has died for us, and we live in abundance towards others in that love? In a report prepared by Paul Borden, it was entitled, Shaped by God's Love, the Passion and Practices of a Missional Church. Borden writes and observes these elements for us to understand the urgency of our faith. Missional congregations distinguish themselves between essentials, the gospel and mission, and the non-essentials in doctrinal interpretation and corporate work with other traditions in kingdom tasks to join together against one common enemy. The missional church, Paul Borden says, seeks to develop kingdom citizens. Do we offer that life-transforming power to our families and friends, or do we still see them in sinners needed to be saved by grace? Do we seek to express the kingdom of God in this world, in this whole world, or just in our little sphere? That redemptive power of the cross is far greater than you and I could ever possess or hold. Do we cooperate or do we compete as kingdom of God participants? Borden acknowledged that you and I make it easier to find ourselves competing against the world instead of allowing God to incorporate us in the unity of his redemptive love. One of the churches that I came to visit with in that church conference circle that first year, and one of their top noting goals boasted the fact that they had signed a contract with Starbucks. They were now serving the best coffee in the land. As somebody who does not like coffee, I was not impressed. Maybe you and I boast of the coffee we drink instead of the table whose blood was shed for us and for all people. Maybe you and I should understand that the power we draw is not what we dine on at the atrium, but what we dine on at the table of grace. And maybe you and I need to understand in whom we are in battle with. Is it our brothers and sisters in the faith? Is it those who are struggling to understand the redemptive work of Christ the best they can? See, the enemy is not someone who's merely reflected in a mirror of us. The enemy is the one who wants to deceive and lie and suggest we're enough and that we can save the world. A young man prepared to go on a mission trip with our congregation in another church in which I served. And when he arrived, he had gathered all the things that he thought he needed. And the leader of the trip asked every participant that was there, "Does everybody have your Bible?" The young man piped up and Mike said, "Hey, I left mine at home, but I didn't think we needed it. The leader of this venture looked at him and said, Mike, you misunderstood what we're going on. We were going on a mission trip. You've emphasized on the trip, not the mission. You've allowed the deception of the world to let you think you're enough to transform where we're going. It's only the nature of Scripture. It's only the mission of God in the church that's enough to save the world. Not our feeble efforts, not our best intentions. On this resurrection day, may the power of the redemptive love flow in and through us. And may we know in whom we live and move, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.